Good Tuesday morning. I'm Jake Sherman, and welcome to your Political Playbook audio briefing, sponsored by Charter Communications.
And I'm Anna Palmer. Tax reform is on the floor in both chambers today, and in all likelihood, it's going to pass, and President Donald Trump will be able to sign it before Christmas. Republicans will get their holiday season signing ceremony, where they'll be able to tout their present to the American people, a tax cut. We've got a fun first in playbook this morning with a video montage of Speaker Paul Ryan over the years talking about reforming the tax code. One fun moment, a clip of a 28-year-old Ryan on C-SPAN as a congressman-elect in 1998 saying, "Our tax system is punishing all those qualities that make America great." How Trumpy.
With tax reform looking like it's getting over the finish line, all eyes are now squarely on the funding fight that's going to happen at the end of the week. Remember, the government is slated to shut down Friday. Here's some news from inside the Republicans' government funding strategy. The GOP, which controls the House and Senate, has an extremely intense 4 days ahead. They have to fund government and patch the children's health program by Friday. But in addition, as our colleague Sung Min Kim pointed out on Twitter yesterday, they have a ton of other stuff to do. They need to renew a key part of surveillance law, pass a massive disaster supplemental spending bill, a veterans bill, and waive pay-as-you-go rules for Medicare changes. Here's what the process will look like as of now. The House is going to pass several bills, one with the relatively popular stuff, keeping government open and patching the children's health insurance program, and another one which will include a six-month fix of a key surveillance law. It's not yet clear how they'll handle the disaster supplemental, which provides $81 billion in relief for storms that slammed Texas, Florida, and Puerto Rico.
Here's the big question. What will Mitch McConnell do? Several Republicans we spoke to say he'll be inclined to combine these bills into one, plus add language to bolster Obamacare payments, as he promised Senator Susan Collins. They are still sorting through what that will look like. In part, it would be nearly impossible for McConnell to have time to bring up two separate bills. That would make for one big, massive bill that Ryan would be pressured to put on the floor and pass to keep the government open. But remember, conservatives will freak out at the massive, pricey package. And the buzz inside the Capitol, with all this spending, many Republicans say they were better with fiscal restraint under Barack Obama.
A smart piece from Bloomberg this morning. President Trump always asks people how their 401ks are doing and talks about the stock market. But most private sector employees don't have an employee-sponsored retirement plan, and only about 14% of U.S. families directly own stocks. The New York Times has a story up about the healthcare law after the individual mandate is repealed. Remember, the mandate that individuals own health insurance is being gutted as part of this tax plan. That could lead to higher premiums and lower enrollment in plans, according to experts quoted by the New York Times.
Dan Diamond has a story on HHS defending its decision to withhold more than 10,000 public comments on a proposal that could impact access to abortion and care for transgender patients. The agency has only posted 80 comments. And those were overwhelmingly supportive of the administration's anti-abortion policies. Alana Shore reports that Senator Tim Kaine's efforts to request data on sexual harassment claims filed in the Senate has been rejected. Kaine wanted to release the broad outlines of the data in the interest of transparency.
The Washington Post has a piece this morning about the Trump team meeting with Mueller later this week. Trump's lawyers are hoping it will mean Mueller is wrapping up his investigation, but the Post reports that's unlikely, and it could ratchet up tension between the two camps. People with knowledge of the investigation believe the probe could last at least another year. Meanwhile, in the Senate, BuzzFeed reports the Russia investigation is now looking into Jill Stein. Meanwhile, the Trump administration is ratcheting up tension with North Korea, blaming the country for the global WannaCry cyber attack that locked up computers at hospitals, universities, and companies in dozens of countries.
Heather Cagle and Kyle Cheney have the scoop on the battle among House Democrats to lead Trump's potential impeachment hearings. Representative Jerry Nadler of New York and Representative Zoe Lofgren of California are competing to be the top Democrat on the House Judiciary panel. Speaking of grilling, Nolan McCaskill writes that Trump called Senator Kennedy after his grilling of Matthew Spencer Peterson went viral. Kennedy said Trump told him to do his job when the White House sends over a judicial pick who is not qualified. Peterson has since withdrawn his consideration.
Scott Garrett's nomination for the Export-Import Bank faces a critical vote today in the Senate Banking Committee, and it appears his path forward will be blocked because at least one Republican will vote against him. Today, Trump will meet with Defense Secretary Jim Mattis. Vice President Mike Pence has delayed his trip to Israel and Egypt due to the tax vote on Capitol Hill. He'll go in January. First in playbook, MSNBC has named Jesse Rodriguez and Sarah Baker to be directors of booking. Subscribe to Playbook at politico.com/playbook.